Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and State PCs preparation. Imagine a single day that brings together a celebration of wetlands, a massive boost for skill development, a defense public sector uplift, a youth parliament for every citizen, and the launch of India's first comprehensive migration survey in almost 20 years, all on one calendar date. That day was February 2nd, a date that also marks World Wetlands Day. First, let us understand why today is World Wetlands Day. The observance falls on February 2nd because on this day, in 1971, the Ramsar Convention on Wetlands was signed in the Iranian city of Ramsar. The theme for 2026 is Wetlands and Human Well-being, a reminder that healthy wetlands underpin food security, water availability, and climate resilience. India now boasts 98 Ramsar sites, the highest number in Asia and the third highest in the world, covering more than 1.33 million hectares. Two of those sites have just been added, the Patna Bird Sanctuary in Etah, Uttar Pradesh, and the Charidhand in Kutch, Gujarat, which is a critical breeding ground for flamingos. Remember this number, 98 Ramsar sites. For the prelims, you may be asked about the Ramsar Convention of 1971, the Montreux Record, or the ecosystem services provided by wetlands. Now, moving from ecology to economics, the World Bank approved a loan of $830 million for the Pradhan Mantri Skilling and Employability Transformation through Upgraded Industrial Training Institutes, known as PMSETU. This scheme will upgrade 1,000 government industrial training institutes using a hub-and-spoke model, 200 hub institutes and 800 spoke institutes. The loan carries a final maturity of 19.5 years with a 4-year grace period, and it was prepared jointly with the Asian Development Bank. Private capital mobilization is targeted at $680 million, and the scheme aims to enroll at least 25% women. The sectors earmarked for training include manufacturing, electric vehicles, artificial intelligence, green energy, textiles and construction, with an annual target of more than 1 million better-skilled workers. The Ministry of Skill Development and Entrepreneurship oversees this program, which forms part of the New World Bank India Country Partnership Framework for fiscal years 2020-2631, amounting to $8 to $10 billion each year. For the mains, think about the hub and spoke model, the demographic dividend, and the public-private partnership angle in vocational education. Turning to defense, Defense Minister Rajnath Singh approved Miniratna categorized status for Yantra India Limited on the same day. Yantra India was created in October 2021 as one of 7 new defense public sector undertakings that emerged from the corporatization of the Ordnance Factory Board, converting its 41 factories into separate entities. Yantra India manufactures ammunition, artillery shells, propellants, and explosives. The Miniratna categorized status now allows the company to approve capital expenditure up to 500 crore rupees without seeking government clearance. Its financial trajectory is striking. Revenue grew from 956 crore rupees in the second half of fiscal year 2020 to 3108 crore rupees in fiscal year 2025, while exports rose from 0 to 321.77 crore rupees in the same period. Yantra India is classified as a Schedule A department of the Department of Defense Production, Ministry of Defense. This development is a textbook example of India's Atmanirbhar Bharat push in the defense sector and the criteria for Miniratna classification. Now let us shift to democratic participation. The Ministry of Parliamentary Affairs launched the upgraded National Youth Parliament Scheme portal, NYPS 2.0, on February 2nd. The original scheme began in 196,667 as an in-school program. NYPS 2.0 expands the canvas from recognized educational institutions to all educational institutions and even individual or group citizens. There are now two tracks, Kishore Sabha for school students and Tarun Sabha for undergraduate and postgraduate participants. By January 27, the portal recorded 95,319 participants across 660 sittings. The scheme familiarizes young people with parliamentary procedures, democratic values and civic participation, echoing the objectives of Mission Karmayogi. Remember this figure, 95,319 participants. On the statistical front, the Minister of State for Statistics and Program Implementation, Rav Inderjeet Singh, announced that the National Statistics Office will conduct India's first comprehensive national migration survey in nearly two decades. The survey will run from July 2026 to June 2027, covering every state and union territory except the inaccessible parts of the Andaman and Nicobar Islands. It will capture rural, urban, interstate, return and seasonal migration, along with socio-economic and employment profiles and the reasons behind migration. The latest periodic labor force survey of 2,21,000 put the overall migration rate at 28.9%, with female migration at 47.9%, of which 86.8% migrated due to marriage. Male migration stood at 22.8%, primarily for employment. The last dedicated migration survey was the 64th round of the National Sample Survey in 2007-08. These numbers are likely to appear in both prelims and mains when questions on internal migration, urbanization and evidence-based policymaking arise. Energy conservation also had its moment. The Petroleum Conservation Research Association, under the Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas, launched Saksham 2026, the annual fuel conservation campaign, from February 1 to 16. Established in 1978, PCRA promotes energy efficiency across transport, domestic, agricultural and industrial sectors. The campaign this year features fuel efficiency drives, pledge campaigns, public awareness activities and competitions in schools and colleges. Keep in mind that India still imports 85-88% of its petroleum, making such conservation drives strategically vital. In the realm of infrastructure security, the Indian Highways Management Company Limited, which runs the FASTag electronic tolling system and manages highway assets for the National Highways Authority of India, signed a 3-year Memorandum of Understanding with the National Forensic Sciences University, Gandhinagar. The MOU covers CCTV analysis, digital forensics and security of advanced traffic management systems, with plans to set up security operations centers and forensic validation labs across the national highway network, which stretches roughly 146,000 kilometers. The signatories were A.R. Chitranshi, Chief Operating Officer of IHMCL, and Dr. S.O. Junare, Campus Director of NFSU. Remember that FASTag, mandatory since February 2021, now collects over 600 crore rupees daily in tolls. A notable financial inclusion milestone also unfolded. Tripura Gramin Bank, celebrating its golden jubilee, launched India's first regional rural bank co-branded Rupai credit card. The card is co-branded with Punjab National Bank, the sponsor bank, and leverages the Rupai network managed by the National Payments Corporation of India. Regional rural banks, set up under the 1976 RRB Act, are capitalized by the center 50%, the state 15%, and the sponsor bank 35%. India presently has 43 RRBs, consolidated from 196 in 2005, while Rupai, launched in 2012, now serves over 760 million cardholders. This initiative underscores the thrust on rural banking and financial inclusion. Turning to global humanitarian concerns, the International Organization for Migration released its global appeal for 2026, seeking $4.7 billion US dollars to assist 41 million people. Internal displacement worldwide reached an all-time high of 83.4 million by the end of 2024, with disaster-related displacement at 9.8 million in 2024, a 29% year-on-year rise. The year also recorded the deadliest tally of migrant deaths since tracking began in 2014, with 9,197 fatalities. Global remittances in 2024 amounted to $905 billion, and there were 168 million migrant workers worldwide. So far, donors have pledged $1.3 billion, leaving a gap of $3.4 billion. The Director General is Amy Pope, based in Geneva, and the IOM became an unrelated organization in 2016. For the exam, note the link between migration, climate-induced displacement and India's position as a top remittance receiver, about $120 billion in FY25. Now let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The World Bank loan for PMECTU is $830 million with a private capital target of $680 million, a maturity of 19.5 years and a 4-year grace period. The scheme will upgrade 1,000 ITIs, 200 hubs and 800 spokes and aims to train over 1 million workers annually with at least 25% women. Yantra India's Miniratna category I status grants it capex approval up to 500 crore rupees, with revenue rising from 956 crore rupees in H2 FY20 to 3108 crore rupees in FY25, and exports reaching 321.77 crore rupees. The NVIPS 2.0 portal counts 95,319 participants across 660 sittings. The National Migration Survey will run from July 2026 to June 2027, and the PLFS baseline migration rate is 28.9% overall, 47.9% for females, with 86.8% of female migration due to marriage. Saksham 2026 runs from February 1 to 16 under PCRA. The MKLFSA MOU spans 3 years, covering the 146,000-kilometer highway network and FAS tag collections of over 600 crore rupees daily. Tripura Gramin Bank's co-branded Rupai card is the first of its kind for an RRB, leveraging the NPCRUN Rupai network. The IOM appeal seeks $4.7 billion for 41 million people, with internal displacement at 83.4 million and migrant deaths at 9,197 in 2024. Now, how does all this connect to your UPSC preparation? For the prelims, remember the Ramsar Convention of 1971, the count of 98 Ramsar sites, the definition and significance of Miniratna Category I, and the critical mineral designation of coking coal under the Mines and Minerals Development and Regulation Act. For the mains, you can discuss the skill development ecosystem under PMECTU, the corporatization of the Ordnance Factory Board and its impact on Atmanirbhar Bharat in defense, the role of regional rural banks in financial inclusion, the expansion of youth participation through NVIPS 2.0, the importance of evidence-based governance through the migration survey, and the humanitarian dimension of the IOM appeal. Also consider the implications of the RB's MAMO on central counterparties, the launch of India's first Elling diesel dual-fuel DEMU train for rail decarbonization, and the addition of heatwaves and lightning to the list of nationally notified disasters as recommended by the 16th Finance Commission. In closing, today's cluster of announcements, from wetlands to skill development, from defense reform to migration data, and from financial inclusion to global humanitarian appeals, illustrates the interwoven challenges and opportunities that define India's development trajectory. Each of these threads offers a rich vein of material for your UPSC essays, answer writing and answer writing practice, reinforcing the need to see current affairs not as isolated events but as part of a larger, dynamic tapestry.